Well, you know, this morning we were talking in Revelation chapter 3, and in verse 18, where Jesus is actually talking to John, and he says, I'm counseling you to do a couple of things. And we talked this morning about how Jesus has counseled us to buy of him gold and white garment, and we talked about those things. But there's a third thing that Jesus tells us to do there, and I want you to look at the tail end of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18, where he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. Now, you might think that that's a weird thing for Jesus to say, because you're like, well, I can see just fine. And you think about all the people around, that most people are not blind, that they can see. Why would Jesus tell a church, you need your eyes taken care of? Your prescription's not right. In fact, you're actually blind. You can't see. He would tell us that in verse 17, that you're blind and you don't even know it. You know, some people, you know, when I'm driving on the road, I'm like, they're blind and they don't know it, obviously, because they're out here driving with me. Well, I wonder sometimes if we can get, you know, we who call ourselves Christians and even the church as a body, that sometimes we're like that on the road. We're blind and we can't see it. So many blind spots, and we're not catching everything. And Jesus says, if you buy some gold from me and you're covered in this raiment, remember what we were talking about? That it's not actual gold. It's talking about your faith. Because God looks down on us and he sees your faith more precious than any gold ever thought about being. And that the trying of your faith is very precious in his eyes. That he wants you to become better Christians. You know, he's not interested in people getting saved and sitting the bench. He wants them to be moving in that direction. If they're moving in the wrong direction, you got to wonder, what happened to the start? What happened to the beginning there? Because he's trying our faith and he's pushing us to be better. And he says, buy the gold from me, put on my garments. That gold that Jesus is selling is your faith. The white garments. That's the trying of your faith is going to cover you properly. And then when we get our eyes anointed, and we can, when we really see what God is doing in our life, that's the anointing that he puts on us, so that we can actually see what's going on. Now beware. When God anoints your eyes with eye salve, you may not be a Republican anymore. You're probably not going to be a Democrat. You're going to be something else. You're going to be a believer. And you're going to say, I'm going to vote for the one that fits the gold standard. That's who you're going to like. Because for conscience sake, because it's gonna hurt you. I don't know, some of you might have voted for somebody before, and then you had buyer's regret. And you're like, and your conscience bothers you. Why couldn't I see what was really going on? Why couldn't I see that? I'm not talking about any particular president. I'm not talking about any particular congressman or a mayor or anything. I just know sometimes we can't see because there's things in our way. We think we see. We think we know what's going on, but we don't. And we begin to live in that condition and we just can't seem to get out of it. We need the anointing from Jesus Christ to clear those scales from our eyes like he did the Apostle Paul. Now, to illustrate this, I want to use a story out of the book of John, chapter 9. If you want to turn there and try to follow along, I'm not going to read all of this. But I want you to see that something is going on here. Jesus, he's walking through the city, and the disciples see this blind guy over here. And they say, "Jesus, what about this blind guy over here? Who caused him to sin? Or why is he like that? Who sinned, his parents or him?" And then Jesus, he makes this statement. In verse 3, he says, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his eyes, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And at that, I want us to pray before we really get into this message. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds tonight. Help us to see the Scriptures the way that you have given them to us. That if our eyes are blinded, like it seems like in Revelation chapter 3, Lord, would you anoint our eyes so that we can see what's going on, that we can see how you're moving around us. Maybe we need to see how the demonic powers in this world are working. Maybe we've been blind to what's really been going on. And we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we may be able to see. Just like you're going to do here in this story. You're going to open the eyes of a blind man. And you're doing this because you want your works to be of God to be made manifest in us. Would you guide us, Lord, in this? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the disciples, Jesus knows where they're coming from. This isn't the first time that this has happened. If you look in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 2, I know I'm pulling from a scripture way back there. It might have been a while since you turned to Ezekiel, but you know it's a big book. You can probably find it. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 2. The scriptures say, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge?" You see, what that proverb is saying is, the parents have done something bad. And because they have done something bad, that their sins have been passed along to their children. They've eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth have been roughed up because of the sourness of it. You ever had anything bitter or really sour in your mouth? You know, with a stomach bug going away, we drink a little bit of apple cider vinegar in my house. It's supposed to help keep the stomach bug away from you and keep your belly not doing that. But let me tell you, you don't mix that, you don't dilute that stuff enough, it'll teach you karate. And your teeth will grit and your face will contort in such a way. So but they were saying that, well, that's the proverb. The parents had done it, so it's passed on to the children. Well, obviously the disciples, they're thinking like that. Because they asked the question, "Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents?" There has to be a reason why this guy was born blind. You know, you might think, if your eyes are blind, if you can't really see what's going on, you might not recognize something like that either. The disciples, they're more blind than the blind guy. They don't know what's really going on. They're blaming the guy. They're blaming the parents. They don't know the situation. And Jesus tells them, this guy was born blind so that God's work could be made manifest in him. You know, something might have happened in your life too. And it might not be because you sinned. Now, some things happen because you sinned. But sometimes you didn't do anything. Maybe the child didn't do anything and they just have a problem. Why? Is it because of sin? It's likely that that's going on so that God's power could be made manifest in that person. If you'll see it. If you want to see where God's working. That's what you're going to be looking for. You'll see situations like that and you're like, "I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. I know he meant it for a reason. I want to see it. I want to see what Jesus is really going to do with this. And just like with this blind man, they were going to see something that the world had really never seen before. Especially them. Man, even us. Have you ever seen somebody that's been born blind see again? It just doesn't happen, does it? It just doesn't happen. And it's not just the disciples that think this too. Let's fast forward. I know I'm going to give you a spoiler here. But look in verse 34. They tell this blind man at the end of everything that's going on. It says, they answered him and said, thou wast altogether born in sins. You see, they said, your family is a sinner. You're a sinner because you were born blind. That somebody messed up. Well, I'll tell you who messed up. It was Adam. Adam messed up. And when Adam sinned, it was passed from generation to generation. So yeah, we're all born in sin. But if you'll open your eyes, there's a remedy for sin. And that remedy is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I'm here now. God's work is about to be made manifest. Disciples, I want you to see this. I want you to see God's work right now. And he turns to him and he says, I must do the work of him that sent me. I've got to do God's work. While I'm alive, I must do whatever God is telling me to do. But he tells them, there's coming a day when I'm not going to be here anymore. There's going to come a day when the Holy Spirit's not going to be here anymore. And the world's going to be plunged into utter darkness. The scriptures tell us what happens to that world. It's going to be burned up. But Jesus tells them, he says, I am the light of the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus will refer to this a little bit more. And he says, you're the light also. You know how you can be a light? It's because you've got Jesus inside of you. And it's shining. Brother Comer's been talking about that for about 2 weeks in the morning devotions. That we've got a light inside of us that's supposed to be shining. We're not supposed to be hitting the dimmer switch. We're not supposed to be trying to hide it under a bushel. We're supposed to let that light shine because the world cannot see Jesus if you're trying to put him out yourself. And you're blind to what's going on. And then as Jesus is looking at this guy and he's having mercy, and I can only imagine this blind guy, he's like, they're talking about me. He's like, guys, I may not can see you, but I can hear you. What's going on? And Jesus, all of a sudden, I thought about going outside and getting some dirt and spitting in it, but I thought that might gross some people out. But that's what Jesus did. He just spit on the ground. I don't know how much spit it takes, probably a lot to make enough to make some mud, picks it up, rubs it, makes some clay out of it, and then puts it on his eyes. Anybody want to be a volunteer? Well, this guy, he doesn't see it coming. But we're illustrated here that Jesus anoints his eyes. I'm like, why did you have to spit in the dirt? Why did you have to make mud? Why did you have to do that? And this is what I think is going on. He's illustrating the gospel. You know, the gospel is kind of a dirty thing. Have you ever thought about it? It's not clean. Because what does the gospel tell us? The gospel tells us that Jesus, our Messiah, was beaten on the back with a cat of nine tails until the bones were showing through his flesh. You ever seen the movie The Passion? Oh man, gruesome. Horrible. I couldn't even hardly watch it. The gospel is ugly because it costs, because sin is ugly. And you know, we're blind to it. We want to gloss over sin. We want to cover it up. We want to make excuses. And sin is nasty. And it costs the life, not just the life. He didn't just have a heart attack and pay for your sin. He was beaten to a pulp. They ripped out his beard. They beat his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He was, have you ever been hit like that and you're all swollen up? They couldn't even recognize that this was Jesus. He looked like something off of Star Trek. Just this. He didn't look human anymore. The gospel's dirty. Not unclean. But it cost a big price for Jesus. And Jesus was showing, I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. I'm not afraid to be able to share the gospel that's not clean. That's gonna be a horrible price. I'm not afraid. And he makes the gospel with his hands. And he takes it and he applies the gospel to this blind man's eyes. You see, if the gospel is not applied to your eyes, you're not going to be able to see either. You're going to continue to be blind to what's really going on, blind to the truth. The gospel hurt God because of our sin. This man was blind because sin came into the world through Adam, and it had to be covered. And Jesus used mud to cover it. He was showing the disciples, one day, I'm going to have to cover your sin with my blood. That's the only way that you're going to be able to see good, to see right, is when my blood, the gospel, is anointed on your life, on your eyes, so that you can finally see, for the first time in your life, you can see the right way. Not the way that man sees, but you'll start seeing with God's eyes. And you're going to see this world different. You'll see people different. You'll see that, oh, I'm willing to get my hands dirty too. If Jesus is willing to do it, I'm willing to do it. And he makes that clay, and he anoints this guy, and then he says, go and wash. He's actually telling him, go to the pool of Siloam. You know, if you look up what this pool actually was, it's called a mitzvah. They found this pool through archaeology. It's a baptismal site where the Jews would go and they would be baptized. And Jesus says, now that the gospel is applied to your life, go and wash, be baptized. And that pictures the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you see the gospel in this story? And he goes, and he washes, and the scripture says, and he went therefore and washed, and came seeing. Can you imagine that? He dips himself down in this water. You know, there's prayers that they would say, some prayers out of the Psalms. I don't know them right off the top of my head, but they would say those prayers. And I bet what he was thinking, he's like, Lord, let me see. For the first time in my life, let me see the truth. And he comes up out of the water. The gospel, the mud has run down his face and it's covered him. He's been washed by the blood of the crucified one. That's really what's going on. It's just symbolic here. And he opens his eyes and he sees. He's like, man, this is exciting. I can see trees. I can see people. That's what people look like. I never knew. Those are colors, the reds, the blues, the greens, even the brown dirt. I'm glad to see brown dirt. And he's so excited, and he goes home. And his neighbors see him, and he's like, I can see. And they're like, are you that guy? You look different. Oh, no, I'm him. I'm the one who was begging. Well, he kind of looks like that guy. He's like, I'm him. you know, when the gospel is really applied to your life, you might look different to your neighbors and your friends. You might look different. Let me tell you, it's okay when that happens. Because you're supposed to be a peculiar person. Can you, you know, I was watching a video the other day of this baby that they had developed this hearing aid where this baby was deaf, and they made it where this baby could hear. And he was listening to his mom's voice for the first time. That baby didn't know whether to cry or to smile, because he could hear his mom's voice. He knew her face, but he never heard her voice before. This man, I'm sure, he's looking, he sees his mom and his dad. He's like, I've never seen you before. And he's just amazed. But there's some of his neighbors. They're like, isn't this the Sabbath day? There's stuff like this not supposed to happen on the Sabbath day. And they take him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they're always ready. Those guys. I can just imagine who was there at this synagogue. I don't know, but I can in my mind just picture maybe Paul or Saul of Tarsus is there as a Pharisee, and you got Nicodemus. I don't know if those two guys were there. But Saul, he would be like one of these that would say, look with me in verse 16. It says, some would say, this man is not of God because he healed on the Sabbath day. And others would say, well, how could a man who's not of God do such a thing? And they would ask this man, you know, he's already told his neighbors what had happened and what Jesus had done for him. And he tells them, and he's excited. He thinks, of all the people around, the Pharisees, the teachers of the Scriptures, that they will appreciate a miracle like this happening. We hadn't seen stuff like this since Elijah's day, you know? And here we are. We're seeing it. My eyes have been opened. And he tells the story. And you know, and I want to point out something before we go on. You know, he told his neighbors, he said, a man named Jesus. You know, initially, whenever we get acquainted with the gospel, we look at Jesus as just a man. We don't know, because our eyes haven't been completely opened yet. Not until we receive full salvation. And then when he gets down here to these Pharisees, he's telling them the same story, and then he realizes these guys, they're not liking what's happened. They're upset. And there was a division among them, and he's catching on. He sees it. What's going on? And then look at verse 17. It says, and they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He takes that step. He takes the next step of faith. It's like, Jesus is not just a man anymore. He's thinking about it. He must be a prophet. He's a little bit more special than just any guy walking down the street. This guy, he's got a relationship with God. He's a prayer warrior. He's a witness. He's a prophet. But the Jews, they say, you know, I don't even think you're telling the truth. We don't even believe your story. Maybe you weren't really blind. Bring his parents in. We got to ask them. And they asked the parents, hey, is this your son that was born blind? You said he was born blind. What's going on? They're like, that is our son. He was born blind. But how it happened? Why don't you ask him? Oh, my goodness. His neighbors just turned him in. And now his family is putting it all back on him. They're turning their backs on him. You know, and the Scripture tells us, because the Pharisees said that anybody who confesses Jesus would be kicked out of the synagogue. They wanted to hold on to those traditions. They wanted to hold on to the place where they were acquainted with the people and not recognize that something has happened. We need to take note of this. We need to stand up for our son. No, they abandoned him. They're like, you tell him, son. And he realizes, oh, I'm on my own. I can't. My neighbors, they don't appreciate me getting saved. They don't appreciate me learning about Jesus. My family doesn't either. Here I am. I'm all alone. But he's not alone. The scripture tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? And here we have the message coming from this once blind guy. And he says, and they ask him again, how did this happen? So now he's frustrated. He's like, these guys, they're not going to believe anything I say. He says, like, if I told you once, if I tell you again, will you become disciples? Will you become believers then? And they say, look at what the scripture says right here. And it says, in fact, they told him, why don't you give God praise and say that this guy is a sinner? Because we know he's a sinner. And this man, he's like, no, I'm not going there. I don't know. I don't know about this man's life. But I do know one thing. That I was once blind, but now I see. That's a fact you guys can't take away. You can say whatever you want to about my Jesus. But I can tell you that one day I was blind, but now I see. You can't take that away. My family can't take that away. My neighbors can't take that away because I'm starting to see Jesus different now. He's not just a man. And he's not just a prophet. He's something more. And he's growing in his faith. It's just amazing how fast this guy is growing in this situation because he's realizing something. That these guys don't like what God really does. When God starts changing people, you can start to see problems arise from the ones who are most familiar with it. They don't want to see that change. They say that they do, but they don't really. And they're fighting it. And the Pharisees are fighting it here. And he says, when he explains, he's like, if I tell you again, would you be his disciples? And they say, we're Moses' disciples. We follow Moses. We know God talked to Moses. And this guy, we don't even know where he came from. Man, I like this blind man's comment back. He says, how is it that such a marvelous thing has happened here where the blind has received their sight from a guy who walks among you? You know who he is. He's taught in the synagogues. He's taught in the temple. And you don't know where he's come from? And he says, look at verse 31. He says, now we know that God, this is the blind man. He would make a better Pharisee than the guys there. He says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He started preaching to him. Whew. I tell you what, when preachers don't like preaching, there's something wrong with that preacher. And these guys didn't like it because he started stepping on their toes. And for a good cause, because they were missing something. Just like back in Revelation chapter 3, they hadn't bought that gold that God had asked them to buy. They were not covered with those white garments, the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. They had neglected that in their life. And they said, we are clinging to the traditions of men. And we believe that by our works we're going to be saved. And that's not how it's happening. And this blind man he's like, through his life, he's showing it's by faith. God anointed my eyes with the gospel, and faith is what I'm seeing on the other side. I want that gold. I want that white garment. I want my eyes to be opened with the anointing from God so that I can see what's really going on. May my faith be true. May it be tried. May it be perfect in God's sight, where I will not fail in whatever it is that he's asked me to do, but I will stay strong and firm to the very end. The blind man was seeing something. And they told him, after his sermonette, they said, "You were born in sins. Get out of here." They kicked him out of the synagogue. Well, the whole event caused quite a stir. Jesus heard about it. And I can just imagine this guy. He's like, "I thought this was the best day of my life. I finally saw for the first time. But my neighbors have rejected me." You see, when you're kicked out of the synagogue, you're going to be rejected from your neighbors and your family. You've got no friends. And he's kicked out. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, what did Jesus do to me? He gave me the sight. I saw the truth. But now I've got nothing." That's when Jesus comes on the scene. And he walks up to him in verse 33. And when Jesus had heard, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And I can just picture this guy here. He's like, "Lord, who is this person that I might believe on him?" And Jesus says unto him in verse 37, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." I can just picture this guy right now. He realized this wasn't just somebody coming up to ask what's wrong. I've heard this voice before. Later on, we're going to have two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus is with them, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus risen from the dead. And he's talking with them, and they're explaining to him what happened. And then Jesus said, "Haven't you read the scriptures?" And explains to them from Genesis all the way to the end of the Old Testament, what they knew, what they had. And he explains to them that these things must happen to the Messiah. And they would say later on that these words that he was speaking would burn within us, but they didn't recognize it till he had broken the bread. When he had said the prayer, when he said the words, they realized, "We've heard this prayer before. It's the Savior." And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened, and Jesus disappeared out of their sight. And they didn't stay the night in Emmaus. They went back, told the disciples, "We've seen the risen Lord." This guy, he saw him before he died. And he says, "Lord, I believe. I believe." And it says, and he worshiped him. You see, even though his life looked like it was falling apart to the rest of the world, that the agents of the government had come down on him, the family had abandoned him, the friends had forsaken him, Jesus was there, and he worshiped. And Jesus turns to those guys that were around. I kind of think the Pharisees are still standing around, just looking at him and mocking this guy. And Jesus says, "For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see might that which see not might see, and that they which might be, and they which see might be made blind." Can you see those Pharisees scoffing at the side? Their arms crossed. So, are we blind also? And Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." they really needed to be the blind people that day, to recognize that they're blind. Remember Revelation chapter 3 and 17? The Laodiceans, they didn't realize they were blind. You know, you can't help somebody that doesn't know that they need help. They'll reject it. You can't get somebody, you can't lead somebody to Jesus that thinks they're okay. You've got to let them know there's a problem. The blind man realized there's a problem in my life. I can't see right. I need some help. He didn't ask for it. The scripture doesn't say he asked for it. But Jesus knew. And he started working in this blind man's life. Anointed him with the gospel of truth. His sins were washed away, pictured in him washing. And he would, and now he lives his sight. He lives in the sight of his faith, seeing Jesus and worshiping him as the Son of God. Man, I wish that more of us could see. But there's people that are growing up in church and they're blind. They think that just because they come to church, they're okay. They've never seen themselves how God sees them. As poor, wretched, blind, naked. Needing to buy of God gold. In a white raiment and having their eyes anointed. They think they're okay. They don't know that they're in need of all these things. But God does. And He sends the wake-up call to the church. Here's some advice, Laodicea. Recognize your true situation. Recognize the true state of what's going on around you, of where you are. Let your eyes be open that you may really see. If you think you see, may you become blind so that God can really open up your eyes so that you can see the way God sees. Hey, it takes faith. Those are big steps. They're hard to take because it might mean that you end up in a situation like this blind guy. But let me tell you, there's a happy ending for him. Because the end of Revelation there, the scripture comes, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man would open unto me, I will come in and sup with him." See, the blind man opened up the door. Faith's sight shone forth. He opened up the door when Jesus knocked. Hey, He's asking us to do that tonight. Don't, when you hear Jesus knocking at your door, answer it. When you see Jesus knocking on other people's doors, help them see. Help them see the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank You for this scripture. I want to thank You for this story about the blind man. Lord, let me never be blind like the Pharisees. It breaks my heart because I've seen so many people that were blind like those guys. They think they're okay. They're like the Laodiceans. They think they're all right, that they're rich. They don't have need of anything. And they don't recognize their true state. Lord, open our eyes that we may see all Your goodness, all Your riches that You've prepared for us. May our faith guide us. May Your faith guide us and strengthen us each and every day. May we know, Lord, that we're not alone in this world, but You're with us and You're guiding us. May we worship You in everything that we do. It's not just about a song that we sing, but it's in the life that we live as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to our Creator. Guide us in these things. We love You and thank You for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've got a song. You know, I like to do it.